We got to talk some football with our man, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, host of the podcast All Things Covered, CBS NFL analyst, and BMAC. Mike and I were just talking about this Jets matchup last night. And for whatever reason now, at 3-6, some people are saying, all right, oh, this is going to be the spark. They're going to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Give me your opinions on what you saw last night. And obviously, everyone's talking about the catch. You played corner. I mean, you seen anything like that?
The closest thing I've seen to what Garrett Wilson did last night is probably OBJ. Years ago when he was with the Giants, of course, the infamous, famous one-handed catch against the Dallas Cowboys. Oddly enough, in the same field, but the opposite end zone. I think that's the closest that I've seen, guys, based on wide receivers coming up with these entertaining one-hand-like catches. What Garrett Wilson did was similar to what OBJ did.
Hey, you got to figure something out for me, man. And, Brian, you're way younger than me. What's with these young kids and dropping the ball before the goal line? You know, it started with DeSean Jackson back in the day. Malachi Corley, who out of Western Kentucky gets his chance? And for Jets fans, it was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What is the cachet or the coolness of dropping the ball right before the goal line?
I think it's more about emotions, Mike and Carl. I think it's more about emotions. For him, that was his second rush in the National Football League, and if you have followed his career thus far, he hasn't played a lot, right? You know, he had a really good career coming out of college, Western Kentucky, but so far in the professional league, he hasn't been out there. So he got an opportunity to get his number called. Outside of that, he actually had a shot to have a defining play in the first half. So I think his emotions got the most of him. But then also, too, I would like to highlight something. I know we can criticize the player, and that's deserving. But what about the coaching? Because the little things, that's what makes a great coaching staff. They harp on the little things before they become a bigger issue. And one thing I didn't like what I witnessed when I watched that game last night, guys, is when that happened, I didn't see one coach come approach him and not necessarily scold him, but get on his case. All I saw was players patting him on the back of the helmet, patting him on the shoulder pad. When I played, the coaches that I played with, especially if you're a rookie, if you make that type of mistake, they're going to curse you out. And I'm not saying that needed to be done last night, but it's all about, you know, upholding the standard and making sure that you're accountable and you're doing what you need to do, because if you don't do it, we're going to find somebody else to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Bryant McFadden joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How about them Cowboys? Bryant, they come into town this Sunday. They're struggling. We went to Tampa, handled business in a game that ended up being a lot closer than it should have been. But at the end of the day, you got to feel good about what you're seeing offensively with the Falcons. What's your take on the Cowboys right now, and what do you expect on Sunday?
They're a desperate team. They are a desperate team. I highlighted this matchup as we get ready for Sunday, solely because of the Cowboys. They have no room for error, right? The Falcons, they have a little wiggle room when you look at what's going on in the division, but of course you want to win this ball game. For the Dallas Cowboys, you have to win this ball game. You're 3-4. You play Atlanta. If you lose to Atlanta Sunday, your next three games consist of Philly, Houston, Washington. Philly, Houston, Washington. There's a likelihood if you don't win Sunday, you could get through that three-game stretch, and you're 3-8. And if that's the case, your season is over. So for Atlanta, they have to understand they're playing against a very, very desperate team. They need to win by any means. You have to start fast, because if you look at the Cowboys and their losses, what the same common theme, slow starts by the Dallas Cowboys, fast starts by the opposing team. That's what Atlanta has to do at home. Get off to a fast start, because the last time the Falcons played at home, guys, they got off to a atrocious start against the Seattle Seahawks. And that was one of the more bigger upsets that week. So for Atlanta, playing against a team that has a lot going on in the wrong direction, get off to a fast start, because they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at the Falcons to try to win this ball game.
It's our man, Bryant McFadden, guys. He's a two-time Super Bowl winning corner. And as such, how about the job that we saw from our secondary? Jesse Bates, we're used to seeing him ball hawking down in Tampa. But how about A.J. Terrell? I thought, one of his top performances as a Falcon, diving interception, playing physical, just really looks like he's earning that paycheck.
Oh, no question, man. One thing I know about, you know, interceptions, you know, listening to a lot of great defensive backs, they come in bunches and they become contagious. It can spread through your locker room like COVID. right, getting picks. And Jesse Bates has been a turnover machine since becoming an Atlanta Falcon. And now we're starting to see that same habit trickulate throughout the entire secondary. And I know you guys have been waiting to see A.J. Terrell create turnovers. Throughout his career in Atlanta, he's been a really, really good cornerback, a guy that can follow opposing wide receiver ones and do a great job against them. The only knock one would say about A.J., his inability to get the ball. Now he is getting the football. And that is very, very important because when you look at what this team can do for Atlanta, especially on the defensive side, they're not really sacking quarterbacks, but they're creating turnovers still. That's a big-time plus because eventually the sacks will come, especially when you got guys that can take the football away in the back end. So those two guys are like Batman and Robin in the secondary, and they've done a real good job.
I'm assuming, B-Mac, that you didn't have to worry about pass rush all those years in Pittsburgh. You didn't have to worry about sacks. Guess what? We're worried about it, and we're not getting enough of them. How much does that affect the back end? Because everybody's like, oh, our guys can cover for 8 seconds. B, come on. I mean, it doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't, but I can tell you this much. In watching Atlanta play, it's not affecting the secondary at all. And I love that because now we see a group that's together. Because you guys know how it is. If one group is not doing their job, the other group might start to feel some type of way, which could create some type of turmoil or toxic in the locker room, right? And it seems like everyone on that defense, all three levels, they support each other. And it's about being patient. It's about being patient. The sack's going to come. You can think about this, guys. In the first month of the season, most Atlanta fans are like, why can't we run the football? What's going on with Bijan Robinson? Why can't he run the football? Now they're not asking that question anymore because the offense has solidified the running game and our running backs are running the football well. Remember, this is a new scheme. Sometimes it takes a little time. But the one luxury the Falcons have, they haven't really been sacking the quarterback, but they're winning games. They're sitting atop of the division. That's a plus.
It is Brian McFadden with us guys here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Catch his podcast, man. It's always entertaining. We got like a few days left. Ironically, it's a big day in politics. And it's a big day in the NFL. I know we're still waiting. Are you surprised the Lions haven't found, or do you think it's going to come in the 11th hour to find someone to beef up the pass rush just like we are? And they're looking to somebody to replace Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do their due diligence. And they also, too, trying to see exactly what they have with the guys in store. In the locker room. I think that's one thing that they're really trying to assess because you don't want to make a premature move where you give up quality resources to get a proven guy. But I can tell you this much. The game between Detroit and Green Bay is a very, very important game, one of the bigger games of the slate for the NFL. If Jordan Love and that Green Bay offense have success, they don't sack Jordan Love, who's definitely hampered with a groin injury, that might force Brad Holmes to make a move immediately, in my opinion. But I think right now they're just kind of weathering the storm because if you look at the Detroit Lions, they don't need to go get a massive name to really improve their chances to get to a Super Bowl. They just need to get a serviceable guy with experience because everything else they have in that defense is already there.
You believe what you saw last week with the Browns and Jameis Winston? They beat the Ravens. Is this what they needed, a guy that was willing and able to push the ball down the field because we know Deshaun Watson wasn't?
Oh, no question, I believe. I believe. I'm like Jameis. I got unwavering faith. I believe. No question. And the reason why I believe is this, guys. The Cleveland Browns was a bad team record-wise, but they have talent on the roster. It wasn't like that cupboard is bare. The Cleveland Browns, they're not like the New England Patriots where they don't have talent. The Patriots don't have talent. What you see from the Patriots record-wise is what you expect because they don't have talent. The Browns, they got talent. Got a top edge rusher in Myles Garrett. Got Za'Darius Smith, another great edge rusher. Denzel Ward in the back end. Grant Delpit in the back end. You look at some of the offensive linemen that are now healthy. And then Chubb coming back. David Njoku, a really good tight end. They have talent. The morale just wasn't there. And the one thing about Jameis, every stop he's been, people, his teammates have always raved about his ability to be a great teammate, and they love him, and they respect him. That's why we instantly saw a change in production when he jumped into the lineup because the team really, really rocks with him. They really love him. Think about it, guys. You two been working together for a long, long time. Y'all love each other. Y'all will work. Y'all will be there for each other. That's why your show is successful. Because the environment that you guys are working in is nothing but positive energy circulating in the studio. When Jameis took, think of, how many times have you seen a backup quarterback that is not supposed to play? He is the guy that gathered the troops together before they go on the football field and give the final speech.
Right.
You don't see that.
Right.
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 Kirk Cousins is the guy who gets guys together for the Falcons. You don't see backup quarterbacks having that role, and the team is okay with them having that role. That told all of us a lot before we started to see some of the bad ball that they were putting on display.
Hey, Brian, before we cut you loose, kind of bounce around the league. I mean, it's so strange. We talked about the Jets earlier. They had to win a game, and they did. They showed you in the second half they got a lot of guys, pretty good. Cincinnati still missing T. Higgins. You know, it's still too much. It seems to me there's still a lot of talent. You got Joe Burrow. I can't believe they're going to – they lose to Vegas, season's over, right, for Cincinnati?
Oh, no question. Yeah, yeah. That's a must-win for Cincinnati. They have no room for error. They got to try to find a way to win. Their division is pretty sticky when you look at what Baltimore and Pittsburgh is doing. But Cincinnati, they have no room for error, and they got to beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Mm. Has Philadelphia figured things out?
Oh, no question. Philadelphia has figured it out. Think about what I talked about, talent. Philly has talent, right? And the most, I guess, intriguing thing about what Philly is doing now, their defense is playing really, really good football as well. We know their offense can score. We know they can score, run the football with Saquon. We just had concerns about their defense because last year, the second half of the season, they really dropped the ball. Now, all of those Bulldogs they drafted are living up to the billing along with some other guys on the defensive side, so that's a big-time plus.
Brian McFadden, it is always a pleasure, man, to talk with you and chop it up and look ahead to another great weekend of NFL football. And make sure you follow him, guys, and check out the podcast. B, thanks for being here, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.